John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. This is the reading of God's word. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received the sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of the time, it has never been heard that anyone open the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, how could he could do nothing? They answered him, "You are born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" So they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." Amen. Please be seated and let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, we are not able to hear your voice through your word on our own strength and ability. But Father, we thank you for your Spirit who is in us. We pray that by his work, that we may hear your voice through your word. And Father, in your words, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and have fellowship with him. Let us see him and worship him. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory as we hear your word. Bless us, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ever since Adam sinned against God, to borrow the words of the Westminster Larger Catechism, all mankind descending from Adam by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in that first transgression, and the fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. And as a result, man is now wholly inclined to all evil, and that continually. The Bible sometimes describes this sinful condition of the evil man as a life of a blind man, a life in darkness. I'll read to you one reference, Isaiah 59, verse 9 through 12. "Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold, darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday, as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and mourn sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities." That is the picture. It is a picture of total hopelessness. It is a picture of all generation after Adam who fell in sin. But our God of love and mercy did not leave all mankind in this miserable condition for them to perish forever. God promised to send the light to this dark world. In Isaiah 49 verse 6, God says about the Messiah, I will also make you a light of the nations. And in Isaiah 42 verse 6 and 7, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from dungeon, and those who dwell, excuse me, those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And in our passage, we see that that light that God has promised has come. We see Jesus Christ, and He is that light. Our Lord is the light of the world. John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5, in Him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 9 of the same chapter, John tells us that there was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. And in chapter 8, verse 12, we hear Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. In our passage, we are meeting Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. In verse 1, we see Jesus seeing a blind man. This man is blind from birth. From birth, he lived in total darkness. His life itself is darkness. It points to how we were before we were saved. We were born in sin from the very beginning of our life. We lived in darkness. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? But the question is not what caused his blindness, but what is the purpose of his blindness? It was in order that the works of God might be displayed in them, in him. Do you see it? The way that we look at suffering has completely changed from the Old Testament. We see the same thing in chapter 11 when Lazarus was sick before his death. Jesus said of Lazarus' sickness, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Here's Lazarus about to die. And just like these disciples, many people around him probably asked, who sinned? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin that he's about to die? We do this a lot too when we look at someone in trouble or suffering We think that it is because he sinned. No, in the Old Testament, these kind of sufferings, they were a picture of God's judgment, but no more, no longer. This man is blind. But it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Lazarus was sick unto death, but that sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God may be glorified by it. So when you find yourself suffering next time, I encourage you to rejoice, because when you are down, God's glory is about to shine. And that is what we are looking at in our passage. In the blind man, God's light is about to shine. God is with him. The light of the world is with him. Jesus spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the blind man did what Jesus has told him to do, and now he sees. And the blind man came to Jesus. Here, some people see that the using of the clay points us back to Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, where we see God creating man from the ground. And if you see it that way, then we see God recreating this man's eye from the ground. This points to the new creation that Jesus accomplishes. Jesus sends the man to the pool of Siloam, and John translates that word, Siloam, as sent. And John has been telling us, if you read from chapter 1, John has been telling us up to this point, chapter 9, that Jesus is the one who is sent. Jesus is sent by the Father. Also in Genesis 49 verse 10, we learn about the Messiah who is to come, and it says in verse 10, Genesis 49 verse 10b, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Yes, Shiloh has come. Jesus Christ has come. Do you see it? Jesus is the spiritual Siloam. Then the man who used to be blind is questioned by the neighbors. And we see that the man is not embarrassed to tell everyone what has happened to him. He tells them that the man who is called Jesus healed him. Then they brought this man to the Pharisees, and we see the Pharisees trying to disqualify Jesus. They say this man, Jesus, is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But not everyone is convinced. Some were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? The blind man is definitely not convinced of what the Pharisees were saying. He said, he is a prophet. Now the Pharisees cannot believe the man was born blind. So they question his parents. But the parents confirm that the blind man is their child and that he was blind from birth, but they did not held the Pharisees of Jesus who healed their son because they were afraid of Jews. But his son who met Jesus was not afraid. Do you see the contrast? He was proud of telling others about Jesus. But his parents were scared, afraid of the world. We read the same thing in chapter 7 of John, verse 13, yet no one was speaking openly of Jesus for fear of the Jews. And in chapter 12, verse 42 through 43, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. They loved the approval of men more than the approval of God. But the man who was formerly blind, the man who met Jesus Christ, he was not afraid of Jews. He said, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. But he opened my eyes. He says, very clearly, one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then the Pharisees said to him, you were born entirely in sins. Wait a minute. We thought that they did not believe that the blind man was born blind. They now admit it by saying you were born entirely in sins. Do you see it? Sinners suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So they admit that the man was blind from birth, and they see the man sees now. Jesus has healed him. It's so clear for them to see. How can they deny this? And yet, it really does not matter for them. Sinners hate light because it shows how filthy they really are. They do not come to light because when they do come to the light, then their filthiness shows. And Pharisees excommunicate the man from the synagogue. He is thrown out by men. He is thrown out. But remember, this man is a child of God. He might be thrown out by this world, but he is a child of God. In chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. I will certainly not throw out. It's okay to be thrown out by this world. God will never throw you out. And in our passage, even though this blind man is thrown out by the world, Jesus goes to him. He looks for him. And Jesus finds him. And he asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Son of Man. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, Jesus is saying, I am the one that Daniel saw in his vision. I am the one to whom was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in me? He says. The blind, formerly blind man says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said, you have both seen him and he is the one who is talking with you. Do you get this story? The real purpose of the gift of sight is to see Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of our salvation, is to see Jesus Christ. And not only this man sees Jesus, but what does he do? He worships him. Verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This is the purpose of our salvation. It is to see God and to worship God. That is the purpose of the gift of sight. Jesus comes as the light of the world, but the world does not receive him. Thus Jesus says in verse 39, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Beautiful passage. All Christians will confess, I was blind, but now I see. Because now they see Jesus Christ. They know. But all non-believers, even though they do not see Jesus, but they will continue to claim that they're not blind. Look at the reversal. Those who say they were never blind, they are blind. But those who claim they were blind, but now they see Jesus, they were blind once, but now they see. That's why these Pharisees, they're grumbling. We're not blind. What do you mean? Verse 41, if you are blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sins remain. How about you? What do you confess? Well, we confess that we were blind. But now we see because Jesus opened our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see Jesus. That's why we're here, worshiping him. Jesus comes as light into the world that everyone who believes in him may not remain in darkness, but he who does not believe in him has been judged already. Jesus says in chapter 3, John, chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Do you get that statement? Everyone who comes to Christ confesses their filthiness. Because he is the light, as you come to him, you see how filthy you are. And everyone who sees Christ, everyone who sees light, sees how filthy they are. And Christians will admit it. They will confess their sins. They acknowledge their filthiness. But non-Christians, they hate the light because they see how filthy they are. But the difference is they will not acknowledge it. And they will hate the light and they will not come to the light because their filthiness will be exposed. Because if you truly come to Jesus, you will confess your sins. Because now your eyes are opened. Not only you see Jesus Christ, but you also see your filthiness. And you see how much you need Jesus Christ. So God's people walk in light, and the evil ones walk in darkness. This was exemplified in the history of the Exodus. When the darkness was over the land of Egypt, it says in Exodus chapter 10, verse 23, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwelling. The judgment of darkness came down upon Egypt. But in the little corner where Israelites were dwelling, there was light. We see this again and again and again in the Bible. When Israelites, they came out of Egypt and they were marching towards the promised land, they came to the Red Sea, and in front of them, Red Sea, and they looked back and there was Egyptian army coming at them. And God, who was leading the Israelites, he went back behind the Israelites and he gave one side light and the other side darkness. So on the Egyptians' army side, it was total darkness. And Israelites, it was total light. All night long, it was like that. You see clear picture. Children of light and children of darkness. And that's how it is even today. We who are Christians, we are children of light. And these worldly people, they will not acknowledge Jesus Christ and they continue to dwell in the darkness. Who do you think the blind man represents? Well, the blind man is you. He is me. Again, John chapter 9 is our story. It is your story. You lived in darkness and you loved darkness. In Genesis 1, the separation of light and darkness was the first act of God in creation. God said, "Let there be light." Can you imagine the awesome sight of light separating from darkness? But after the fall of Adam, the judgment of God is upon his creation. Thus, after the fall, if Genesis 1 and 2 is about creation, then Genesis 3 is about decreation, reversing the creation. If Genesis 1 and 2 is from chaos to order, then Genesis 3 is about from order to chaos. But like I said before, God did not leave us in that state forever. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 23 says, "I looked on the earth and behold it was formless and void, and to the heavens and they had no light." Did we not see these words somewhere else? Yes, in Genesis 1:2, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But in Jeremiah chapter 4, we're not looking at the physical world, we're looking at the spiritual world. The earth before creation was described as formless and void and dark. Just like it, the sinful nature of fallen state is described with the same words. Formless and void and darkness. So you see in Genesis, earth, formless, void, and dark. And from there, God says, let there be light. Creation begins. Well, creation of the earth. Just like it. Spiritual state of sinful state. Formless, void, and dark. And there, Jesus comes as the light. The new creation. Jesus comes as the light to this dark world and recreates us. He shines light into darkness, thus we are a new creation. This has happened to you and to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown his in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thus, you and I, we are sons of light. And everyone whom this recreation has happened becomes lights themselves." Thus, Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 tells us that we are the light of the world, just like Jesus Christ. Thus, Jesus, in our passage, John chapter 9, verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me. He says, we must work. Yes, we are participating in his work, his perfect and completed work. We are the light in the Lord. We shine in the darkness. You shine. Through your life, through the life of this church, as the light of the world, we shine his light to this dark world. That is why you cannot be like those who belong to darkness. You are different from them. You cannot follow the ways of the world. How can light and darkness be together? That's the point. Impossible. Ephesians 5 verse 8 and 9, "You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Do I need to tell you how you must live your life in this world? Remember, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are the light in this dark world. You have to shine the light of Jesus, the glory of Jesus. You cannot join the darkness. God has separated you from that darkness. We must remember, brothers and sisters, that in order for us to identify with Jesus as light, Jesus had to identify himself with us in darkness. In order for us to be the light, Jesus had to die on the cross and buried in darkness of tomb. He had to enter the darkness of death so we could enter the light of life. He has resurrected from that darkness. Jesus, even as he calls out Lazarus from his tomb. So you see Lazarus coming out of his tomb. Jesus understands that he needs to go into the tomb. Remember what was the price that God had to pay to make you the light of the world. If you remember, if you understand just a little bit, then it will be very clear to you what kind of life that you must live in this dark world. You cannot follow the ways of the world. And Jesus is coming back. And he will gather us into his kingdom. And his kingdom is the kingdom of light. Revelation 21 tells us about this kingdom. He says, I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are his temple. And the city has no need of sun or of the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean. No one shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. No darkness in heaven. No sin in heaven. And that life, the life of light, has begun, already begun in your life. And brothers and sisters, if you were physically blind, and let's imagine, if you were physically blind, and now somehow you are able to see, would not be this the subject of your conversation everywhere you go? If that has actually happened to you, physically, you will probably go everywhere, and everywhere you go, you will tell them of what happened to you. I was blind, but now I see. Probably, I don't think I could even make you, keep you silent, because you will tell me anyway. Well, something greater has happened to you, brothers and sisters. Something more awesome has happened to you. Your spiritual eyes are now open in Jesus Christ. And how excited are you to tell? Tell this world of what happened to you. Or just like the parents of this blind man, are you embarrassed? Are you scared to tell of Jesus and what he has done for you? But no, you're not like that. You are this blind man. He's not embarrassed. He's not scared of the world, and it is his honor to go out and tell of Jesus, who he is and what he has done for him. This is you. Let us join this blind man, or should I say formerly blind man, and boldly tell the whole world what Jesus has done for us. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Let us again join the blind man, formerly blind man, and worship our God who came as the light of the world. Let us shine, for his light has shone upon you. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as you come to the Lord's table today, my question is, do you see Jesus? Yes, you are formerly blind spiritually, but do you see Jesus today? Yes, you were blind, but Jesus has shown the light in you to see Him and the reality of His kingdom. You see Him and the reality of His kingdom through the Word and through faith that He has given to you. Open your spiritual eyes wide open and see who is calling you to this table. It's your Lord, Jesus Christ. He is calling you. Do you see Him? Do you get the story? Do you understand what God is telling us in John 9? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, come to your God. He gives Himself to you. Yes, we have been saved, rescued from the domain of darkness to see Jesus Christ so that we may see Him and worship Him. This is our story. This is what happened to us. Do you see Jesus? Yes, you do. Because your spiritual eyes have been opened by Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Father, we might not know much like this formerly blind man, but we know one thing. We were blind before, but now we see. We thank You for Your grace upon us. We see You. Through the Word, we see You. Through the faith that You have given to us, we see You. Bless Your people that they will have clear vision to see Jesus Christ and worship You, our God, forever and ever. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.